We are now in June, so-called Pride Month, at least here in Canada, and some Ontario Catholic school boards have again been debating whether they should fly the Pride flag during the month. Needless to say, there have been passionate feelings on both sides of the issue, and it's painful to see that the discussion about the best way to promote inclusivity is cause for division. But let's remember that we Catholics already have a symbol that stands for inclusivity, the cross. Not only does it stand for inclusivity, but for acceptance, respect, compassion, and sensitivity. It also stands for selflessness and sacrifice. The cross is the symbol that is visible in every Catholic institution. It reminds us of a love that is centered on others and not on self. In a reflection about this very topic, a few years ago, Cardinal Collins of Toronto said that the cross outside every Catholic school signals our commitment that all who enter the building are welcomed and loved in their beauty and uniqueness as children of God. We don't need to embrace any secular symbols. Wherever there's injustice or rejection, wherever there is hate, we need look to no other symbol than the cross. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this is the Salt and Light Hour. Hello and welcome to an all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me is Mark Matthews.
Pleasure to be here, as always, on the Salt and Light Hour.
As always, good to have you, my friend. Happy beginning of Ordinary Time.
That's right. Post-Pentecost, could we call it that?
Yeah. And it's Am I
inventing a new liturgical season if I call it post-Pentecost?
Post-Pentecost. It sounds like post-apocalyptic.
That's right.
I was talking to Sister Marie Paul Curley last week about just ordinary time. It's like you finish Easter season, but then it's like the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and then it's like the Feast of Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really feel like it's ordinary time.
Yeah, it's the ordinary feasting time.
The ordinary, yes, the extraordinary ordinary time.
But hey, as Christians, you know, we kind of should be celebrating in ordinary times.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. That every and I kind of like about that. I like the ordinariness of ordinary time, because it's really not that ordinary. We're called to find the extraordinary in the ordinary.
Yeah, it's not like dull time. It's like our ordinary awesome time.
Yeah, ordinary awesome time. Okay, yeah. And that's what the next hour is going to be, the ordinary,
yes,
awesome Salt and Light Hour. Today, Mark, Ed Clancy, he's the Director of Outreach for Aid to the Church in Need USA. He's going to be with us today to tell us about the Religious Freedom Report that's coming out on June 22nd. We've heard about Christian persecution before from him, and so now we're going to hear about the state of religious freedom in the world. So he's going to tell us all about that in about 5 minutes. And then, Mark, you're going to be back with us telling us something.
A little story about praying and expectant faith and kind of some interesting, amazing things that happen in Hollywood.
Okay, interesting and amazing things. Not ordinary, amazing things that are happening in Hollywood.
That's right.
With Mark Matthews. So that's in about 15 minutes. And then I might have asked you this already before, Mark, but have you had a chance to travel to the Holy Land?
I have not. It's very high on my bucket list. I really want to go.
Okay. I thought you had said you'd been there. So if you go, so there's all kinds of pilgrimages that you can do, obviously. Not a lot of them go to a place called Magdala. And Magdala,
okay,
if it sounds familiar, it's because that's where Mary Magdalene is from, Mary of Magdala. Mm. Magdala. And Magdala
makes
is this amazing center of it's still a little town, but it has great significance, not just for Christians, but also for Jews. And the Legionaries of Christ have a center there, the Magdala Center. And in fact, about 3 months ago, we had Father Eamon Kelly on the program telling us all about the Magdala Center. And there's all these archaeological excavations that they're doing there because they found like the Magdala Stone. Have you heard of the Magdala Stone?
Look
it up. There's all these really interesting archaeological stuff that they found there. Like the first synagogue, they think one of the first synagogues dating to like 2000 years ago.
Really? So, wow.
A synagogue where maybe Jesus could have actually been inside this synagogue. So it's super cool. So Father Eamon Kelly is going to be back today to tell us, because they have a super busy summer season. And so they're going to be telling us about all of their activities in the summer. And it might be too late for people to plan a trip to the summer this year, but these are activities that they're having in Magdala every summer. So Mark,
that sounds really cool. I've never heard of this.
So if you plan your pilgrimage to the Holy Land, make sure that you include Magdala. And you know what? You can go and volunteer there. You can go like take a month off and just go and volunteer there for a month or for 2 weeks.
I was just going to ask if I could see the archaeological dig, and that'd even be better if I could volunteer.
Yeah, if you're volunteering and then you're there handing out pamphlets and then you're living there for 2 weeks or a month. Anyway, so that's in about 25 minutes, Father Eamon Kelly of the Magdala Center in Israel. And then we're going to end the program by meeting a new artist that we have not had on the program before. We've spoken about the Vigil Project before. And had several artists that are involved with the Vigil Project on the show. And Andrew Ferguson and Sophie Salopek are also part of the Vigil Project. They call themselves The Dwell. And I'm going to be sure to ask why they call themselves that. We're going to get to ask them, you know, learn about who they are and what they do. And we're going to also get to listen to their music. So we're going to be speaking with Andrew Ferguson of The Dwell at the end of the program in about 45 minutes. So lots going on this awesome, not ordinary.
Awesome time. Let's just call it awesome time.
Let's just change the name of the program to the.
The awesome hour.
The awesome hour. The extraordinary hour.
Yeah. You don't want to call it the ordinary hour.
No, so. You don't want to call it the ordinary hour, although it would have significance. Anyway, so all that coming up, if you cannot listen to the whole extraordinary hour, make sure you go to our website, smmedia.org, click on podcasts, and then you can listen to all our programs. And of course, you can also subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so Mark, here we go. We're going to start with this.
All right. Sure.
Here is The Dwell with their song Fade from their album Honest.
Love to stare into the morning sun and feel it press its face upon my skin. Reminds me of the comfort in your touch. Makes me long to hold your hand again. It's so beautiful. I wish it would.
That was The Dwell with their song Fade from their album Honest. And The Dwell is Andrew Ferguson and Sophie Salopek. And we're going to be speaking with Andrew Ferguson at the end of the program. So I hope that you'll be around for that. And now it's time for Where God Helps with Ed Clancy of Aid to the Church in Need, USA. Ed, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Deacon Pedro. It's always wonderful to be with you.
It is, and you guys are always busy, and there's an important report coming out.
Yes. In fact, on June 22nd of this year, we're releasing our biennial, and that means every 2 years, our biennial report of religious freedom in the world. It's a picture taken, you know, by experts in the field in many places of the situation of religious freedom in countries all across the globe. And Aid to the Church in Need is the only Catholic agency that does this type of report. And we're also the only agency in the world, including governmental agencies, that covers countries that include the United States and Canada in the report. Because for us, it's not just about how bad things are. It is also about how things are changing within the countries that are generally considered comfortable when it comes to the area of religious freedom.
Okay, and you said that the report is coming out at the end of June or towards the end
of
June. Is there anything that really stands out or that's different this year from 2 years ago?
It just that it seems to be a creep of more and more problems and more different situations around the world. Unfortunately, our last report, which was Persecuted and Forgotten, which highlights Christian persecution, that one showed that the number of countries where Christians are being severely persecuted had increased. You know, the global picture was worse. Okay. And it's the same in general for religious freedom. You know, just to mention certain countries where we can talk about, and it's not just Christians who are being persecuted. In fact, Christians are the most persecuted of all the religions. But it's also the situation that religion is being used as a cudgel, as a weapon, against different minority groups around the world. And this is true in places like India, in places like Pakistan, with things like the blasphemy laws. And then we have places like Nigeria, where there seems to be an outward targeting of Christian groups and Christian areas in almost, you know, I hate to use the word, in an almost genocidal pattern.
Interesting. So, and you've said this before, and I just wanted to highlight again. So Christian persecution, so Christians are the religious group that is most persecuted around the world.
Yes.
But it's interesting because this report is not focusing, it's not called religious persecution, it's called religious freedom. So is there a difference?
There is, and it is. So the difference is that religious freedom, you know, for people in the United States, where it's embedded in the Constitution, religious freedom is, for most accounts, the very first freedom, because even beyond freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, some of the other things that we hold important, freedom of religion is about how you define yourself and how you relate to your God. And that kind of intimate relationship is very important in who you are as a person, mm-hmm. as the individual. And so religious freedom is the forerunner or the beginning of many of these problems. There are many countries that have freedom of worship as opposed to freedom of religion.
Okay.
Now, freedom of worship is, well, in your little corner, in your little place of worship, you can worship as you see fit. But once you leave those doors, you can't.
Right.
We see places like China where this is true, and many other places, Vietnam,
yeah.
but it's expanding. I mean, obviously in Pakistan, in Nigeria, places in Nigeria now, Christians are comfortable, theoretically comfortable to worship in church, but they're not necessarily so outside of the church. They have to live
right.
a totally different life.
Interesting. And of course, I'm interested in what's happening in North America. I think a lot of our listeners would be too. Would the report cover things like, you know, the freedom to attend a religious school, for example?
Yes, we cover any of the highlighted topics. For example, the last report we had covered the Little Sisters of the Poor, who were in the United States being told that they had to do something that was against their, you know,
right.
their
yes.
their constitution.
Yes.
That they were going to have to abortifacients and things like that.
Yes.
Which was alien to a group of nuns. I mean, it's, and when they took, you know, said that we couldn't do that, they were attacked by the government and forced to do so, and were threatened with fines. So we covered things like that. And then there are areas of religious activity like education, but also the attacks on churches. So unfortunately, there's been hundreds of attacks on Catholic churches, for example, mm-hmm. in the United States, and it seems to grow. The same thing is happening to our Jewish brothers, and also in some places to, you know, temples and mosques and different types of worship places. And that's the beginning of a major problem once you cannot even feel comfortable in those places.
Of course. And so, you said that Aid to the Church in Need is the only Catholic organization that puts out, so the report belongs to Aid to the Church. It's an Aid to the Church in Need report.
Yes.
Do you work, I guess you're working with other religious leaders to compile their data?
Well, what we do is we use experts in each different place in the world. So we have regional experts for example, West Africa, the Middle East, maybe parts of Asia, South America, you know, all of these different places. And they supply us with the reports, and then we edit it. And we work very closely with the Secretary of State of the Vatican in this report, because obviously as an agency that falls under the Holy See, it's important that we say things that are appropriate and well known. So they will be part of the rollout on June 22nd.
Of course. And lastly, are there other organizations, maybe like the UN, that is compiling similar reports on religious freedom?
They oftentimes will compile reports, but nothing like this. There is, for example, the United States has the United States Conference Commission on International Religious Freedom, USERF, and they will release their reports as well. And they cover a lot of the countries. They don't cover the United States and Canada. In fact, they only cover, for example, a couple of years ago, they included Mexico, but that was primarily because of issues with the, you know, the drug dealers and the attacks on priests and nuns who were helping people and things like that. It wasn't, you know, more of the minutia.
Okay. So it sounds like it's an important report. So people can stay tuned to go to your website. I guess that's where they can find it. Churchinneed.org, and I guess any Aid to the Church in Need website from around the world. In Canada, in Canada, it is acn-canada.org. So you can read this report on religious freedom in the world. Ed, thank you. Thank you so much for telling us.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Thank you, and God bless you.
Ed Clancy is the Director of Outreach for Aid to the Church in Need USA. You can find out more about Aid to the Church in Need and find all their reports, not just this one, in the United States, churchinneed.org, and in Canada, acn-canada.org.
Hey guys, it's Charles Gonzalez from Epic the Fan, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
If you would like to contact us, you can email me, pedro@slmedia.org, or you can find me, Deacon Pedro, on Facebook. Also, I'm on Twitter and Instagram @DeaconPedro. And now it's time for What's Good in Hollywood with our Hollywood undercover missionary, Mark Matthews.
Hello, Pedro. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Good to have you back.
Prayer in Hollywood and prayer in expectant faith. I have a little story I wanted to share. Okay.
Yes, a shory.
As I've shared before, I worked at DreamWorks Animation for 10 years. don't work there anymore. But I had a woman by the name of Karen Cavell, who I've talked about before, over for lunch. And she is the founder of something called the Hollywood Prayer Network, which I'm a big fan of.
Yep.
And I credit for many of the great things that have happened in Hollywood. And one of the things that they do, and they have a newsletter you can sign up for online, and I very much encourage all the listeners to check them out, sign up for their prayer newsletter. But if you're in Hollywood, they also do these prayer walks sometimes around the studios just to pray for the people at the studios. Or if you're having her over for lunch, you might just pray at the table at lunch with her, you know. And so
right.
We had this lunch and she prayed. She was like Lord, you know, I just want to pray for DreamWorks and everyone here. And in particular, I want to pray that you would bring a Christian executive here. And in fact, we thank you for it already. And I remember thinking, I'm like, wow, that's kind of bold, you know, praying not just for anyone, but, you know, an executive, and, you know, we're already, that they're already here. So about a year later, there was someone fairly high ranking, can't say who, but they were instrumental in helping get to some of the Christians together at DreamWorks, and just simply to fellowship, just to eat together, pray together, and, you know, and sometimes read the Bible, which is, it's great. It's kind of really nice to have that fellowship together, just to know that there's other Christians around. And we were sort of recounting the details of how this person got hired. Uh-huh. And we figured out that they were interviewing at pretty much the exact moment that Karen and I were praying for this.
What? Wow.
I know. Isn't that
amazing?
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's funny because God doesn't always make it so clear that he is listening. But in this case, it was really clear. And that just kind of blew me away and sort of reinforced to me just how important Karen's mission is with the Hollywood Prayer Network, to just simply pray for Hollywood. And so I think, like, that's just, I don't know. It encouraged me and means just we all should be praying. God is listening and he's waiting just to work particular miracles. And I think it's important to point out too, you know, when we're praying for Christians, you know, to be in Hollywood, it's not like we're being subversive, changing the scripts or anything like that.
Right.
But it's simply just to be a voice in the room is how I would say it. Hmm. And the best example of this is, have you heard of a 2009 film called The Blind Side?
Yes.
Stars Sandra Bullock.
Yes.
Yeah. Stars Sandra Bullock. It's the story of Michael Oher, who overcame his impoverished upbringing to eventually play in the NFL. And it was through the help of his adoptive parents, who were Christian, who helped kind of bring him out of poverty and eventually play in the NFL. And it's a very beautiful, heartwarming, redemptive story, the kind of story that Christians should be telling. Mm. And the story that I heard about it is that the production company was actually going to pass on the script, but there was an Act One grad who was there. And Act One, it's a Christian screenwriting and executive program in Hollywood.
Yes.
And they simply said, they were in the room and they simply said, you know, I think this would play really well in the red states, i.e. tend to be the more Republican, conservative Christian states.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were like, interesting. Maybe we should look into this film. Well, the film went on to gross $309 million, was nominated for Best Picture, and won Sandra Bullock the Best Actress, in addition to it being a very good redemptive film.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and so that's all it takes, is just these little things. And so I simply want to encourage people, is that sometimes I think the attitude is on the defensive, like, oh, it's been lost. You know, Hollywood is this, you know, falling Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's like, no, we're on the offensive. God is just waiting to work miracles. All we have to do is ask. So pray in expectant faith.
I love that. And I love the attitude that all it is that it means that our voice is in the room. And not that God needs us, but isn't it amazing that God wants us to participate?
Yeah, and it's that whole grace builds on nature thing, you know, and we just have to give him some nature to work with, you know, invite him into the room and he will work with us. So.
Exactly. So if people feel inspired right now to pray for Hollywood, maybe something's happening right now that through your prayer can be influenced, pray for Hollywood. Pray for Hollywood.
Yeah. And you might never know the fruits of it.
Know.
Yeah. But, you know, occasionally we get glimpses into the effects of that grace, as I did, you know, with my experience at DreamWorks.
Beautiful. So. Great story. Very inspirational. Thanks. So expectant prayer. So don't just pray and ask, but thank God right away.
Exactly. Thank you, God, for working the miracle.
Thank you, God. All right. Thank you very much for that inspiring story, Mark Matthews. Something definitely good that's happening in Hollywood.
Yes.
What's Good in Hollywood with Mark Matthews, our undercover Hollywood missionary. You can follow him at HU Missionary. Coming up in our second half hour, we travel to the Magdala Center in the Holy Land, and we meet with singer-songwriter Andrew Ferguson of The Dwell. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. In February 2023, we spoke with Legionary of Christ Father Eamon Kelly, who lives and works at the Magdala Center in the Holy Land. If the name Magdala sounds familiar, you're right, because it is the hometown that gives Mary Magdalene her name. She was Mary of Magdala. Magdala is a place of history for both Jews and Christians, and the Magdala Center is a place of pilgrimage and reflection. They have many programs running all year round, but the summer, with the Feast of Mary Magdalene being July 22nd, is an especially busy time. In order to learn what's happening there this summer and to help you begin planning your next Holy Land trip, I am now joined by Father Eamon Kelly from his home in Magdala. Father Eamon, it's good to see you. Welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour.
I'm so happy to be here, and I want to say already a big thank you for having Magdala on your program already. It's not even 2 months, is it?
Yes.
And then you also did a nice little boost for the sunrise stroll and chat I do every morning on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. You put a link in there. That was so kind of you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always a delight and a pleasure and a privilege to promote good things that are happening in the church. That's our hope here with the program, to let people know about the beauty, truth, and goodness that's happening in the Catholic Church.
And there's a lot of that.
There is a lot of that, and there's a lot
of stuff is in the news.
I know, and there's a lot of that happening right where you are. So you have a summer coming up.
Yes, well, a busy summer just with pilgrims, because the pilgrims seem to be back. If we keep up the rate we had already this year, we'll probably reach the same numbers we had in 2019, which was a record year. So
wonderful.
That means the recovery after the COVID is in full swing. And I think also the ugly news that was going around about the conflicts here recently also haven't made a significant dent.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that.
And that seems, that's a beautiful signal that people will still be able to come to this occasion and circumstance that allows them to connect with God's grace in a very powerful way.
Yes.
And that's one, because it's terrible pity when all the negative stuff brings more negativity with it.
Yes.
And it's bad enough to have that negativity, but then to bring more negativity with it, then it's ruinous, you know?
Yes.
And so thanks be to God, it seems that that didn't make a dent. On the contrary, people are booking and booking and booking. And the biggest problems we have are overbooking right now.
Yes, that's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. So let's learn a little bit about the programs that you have, maybe starting with the priest renewal course. So this is something that's specifically for priests?
Exactly. It's a big interest because the priests have a big responsibility and the people depend on their priests. Mm-hmm. And just like every person in life and also every machine and tool we have, there's a wear and tear.
Yes, yes.
A fatigue, and there's a tiredness. There can also be all kinds of circumstances that take the oomph, the steam out of the steamroller. And the priest needs renewal.
Yes.
And a renewed priest is a renewed parish.
Yes, yes.
And actually, that's a beautiful thing that parishes do for priests. We've noticed that they sponsor a priest for a Holy Land trip for his 25th anniversary or his 20th anniversary or for some special occasion. And they want their priest to have a breather, to go to the Holy Land, to walk where Jesus back, to come back and proclaim the gospel in their community with a zeal and a fervor that they know he has, but he's just tired or there's a lot of stuff in the environment that's getting to him and he needs a break, you know?
Yes. So this, I mean, it's not like a weekend retreat. It's like more than 10 days.
Oh, it's about 3 weeks. It's all just short of 3 weeks.
So what happens for the priest that's listening, that's maybe thinking, oh, maybe I can do this, not this year, but next year. What happens during those 3 weeks?
Let's say the basic underlying structure is the normal pilgrimage that everybody does.
Okay.
Except the priest has all his theological formation and he also has an intensive prayer life, but that might need revamping.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have the tools and the the potential to really get invested in the time. He's able to take a longer period. It's like a mini sabbatical.
Yes.
And it's not just the priests who are listening, Deacon Pedro. I think it's also the parishioners who are listening. Yes. And they notice they'd love to give this 10 or 15 parishioners club together or 20, and they get 10 or 15 or 20 more, and they all chip in $50. And suddenly they got their priest on a plane to the Holy Land, and he comes back renewed and refreshed.
Yes.
And that's a huge blessing for their children, for their grandchildren, for their neighbors. And renewed priest is a renewed parish, and a renewed parish is a renewed deanery.
Yes.
And so we all are invested in renewing the church. It's
yes.
our mission and goal, because we want a church that is, with all of our weaknesses and difficulties and challenges, that has interior health. And obviously there are other people also in the community that need renewal, so that can also be organized.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we have, for the last, I would say, when I came here, it was already the second course, I think, or third course, and that was in January 2007. And we've had them every year, except for the COVID years,
That's
obviously.
Wonderful. No,
twice every year.
Great advice. So people that are listening, if they want to give their priests a little gift, or if you're a priest and you're listening, and this is something that you might want to consider, it's happening every year at the Magdala Center. And then on July 22nd, you have the Feast of Mary Magdalene, Apostle of the Apostles.
That's a worldwide feast of the church.
Yes, it is.
It's just since we're in Magdala.
Of course, I'm sure that for you, it's a major day. So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, obviously, there are the liturgical celebrations, but anything else happening on that day?
Yeah, well, basically, it's the Eucharist and a solemn Eucharist, you know, for this occasion. And then it depends on the pilgrim groups that come. But this year, we have something very special riding on this occasion. And that is the day before. For the first time ever, we're organizing a youth fest.
Right, yes.
And this youth fest has its eyes on the year 2033. Yes. And so then we are conscious of the fact that we're approaching this date very quickly. So meanwhile, already Pope Francis has called for the Jubilee year of 2025, like
right.
we have every normal,
yes.
regular, standard Jubilee. And so that will be a great preparation. I imagine then the whole church will really put a lot of wind in the sails of 2033, because it'll be 2,000 years since the mystery of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection
it's
of Pentecost.
Amazing.
What we want to do on the way toward there is we want to have this youth fest every year in the summertime. And we're doing this one back to back with the World Youth Day, which follows on the
yes.
1st of August in Lisbon. So we're doing it from the 21st of July to the 31st of July. And there's a wonderful program lining up, and we've got quite a few entertainers from Latin America.
Yeah. I just wanted to go quickly back to the feast day. So you're celebrating the Feast of Mary Magdalene in the context of the Youth Fest encounter. That's also a 10-day festival, right? From the July
exactly.
21st to the 31st.
Exactly. So that's going to make this year's Mary Magdalene feast day much stronger.
Yes.
And it's actually going to coincide with the days also of the priest's renewal, and they'll be doing that partly.
Oh, so there's an overlap
partly,
there as well.
Exactly, and they'll be doing it partly in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, obviously, like the major parts of the pilgrimage. Then they have much more besides just the normal pilgrimage. They have much more time at the sites. They're not rushing from one place to another.
Right,
they have
of
time
course.
To sit down
so,
to pray together and exchange.
Is the idea then that you hope that pilgrims will be coming, for example, to the Youth Fest for 1 or 2 or 3 days, or is and that's why you have such a long, it's 10 days. Nobody, you don't expect that people are going to be there for 10 days. Do they stay at Magdala?
Well, actually we have, it's a very open concept, but we're actually organizing also like the priest's renewal. The Magdala Youth Fest is actually going to be also a pilgrimage around the Holy Land.
Okay.
Because it's a youth fest, it's going to have a characteristic of a lot of music, for example. And there are 4 key words in the festival as well. It's walk, pray, sing, and I'm missing one. So you'd have to find this one out when you have the brochure.
walk,
pray, sing,
and
there's one other one that I'm missing.
And one more important one that people are going to have to go to Magdala to find out.
Exactly.
You can send me all the information and we'll put it on the website.
Yes.
So if people are not already planning a trip to Israel this July, they will be able to plan for next year. There will be a youth fest next year. There will be
yes.
a peace renewal next year.
Yes.
And the Feast of Mary Magdalene is celebrated, as you said, universally in
right.
the church every year. So maybe that's a good time
right.
to be in Magdala.
Exactly. The Youth Fest actually will be have a lot of media resonance because of the major entertainers who are coming.
Yes.
We're also appealing for young people. And actually, we're finding that actually some adults want to be there because they feel young at heart and they want to live a renewed youth in their faith and their hope and their love in their following of Jesus.
Yes, so good advice. All right. Okay. So, Father Eamon, thank you so much. We're going to leave it there. I hope that you will send me more information so we can post it on the website and so that people can start thinking about next year for the Priest Renewal or for the Youth Fest and any other events that are happening. And if they wanted to plan a pilgrimage to Israel and wanted to stay at the Magdala Center, you're open all year round. They don't have to go in the summer. Maybe in the fall or in the winter is a nice time to go. So they can get all that information at your website, magdala.org.
And the Priest Renewal, of course, also happens in the winter, in the end of January, beginning of February.
Okay, so that's good.
So there's two a year.
Thank you so much, Father Eamon. It's good to see you. And thank you for telling us what you're going to be doing this summer. And you're going to be busy. So good luck.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can learn all about Magdala and the Magdala Center, book your stay at their beautiful guest house, and also about all the programs that Father Eamon mentioned at their website, magdala.org, and I'll post details on our website, slmedia.org/podcast. That's also where you can listen to the full program. Here now is The Dwell with Running from their album, Honest.
I've heard your voice calling out my name. The sound was so sweet, but I was still so afraid. And I felt your hand guiding me through the trees, but my feet aren't sure as you made them to be. So I roamed through the desert and I wandered through the hills. I tried to put a mountain between us, and still the roaming left me broken and the wandering left me ill. Till you brought me to your garden and you showed me how to heal. I'm tired of running from you. I'm tired of running from you. I'll rest at your feet, I'll collapse on the floor. I don't wanna run anymore. I see you now, standing on the sea, calling me out. Son, put your faith in me. There in the waves is the fear that I've known. Troubled waters I set upon the seas. The waves are growing taller while below you sound asleep. Just when I'm believing that my God's forsaken, I'll rest in your grace, I will fall in yours. I don't wanna run anymore.
That was The Dwell with Running from their album Honest. The Dwell is a singing duo comprised of Andrew Ferguson and Sophie Salopek from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Both Andrew and Sophie are on staff with the Vigil Project, which we've featured several times on this program. Both of them fell in love with music when they were younger, Sophie beginning vocal training in elementary school, and Andrew learning multiple instruments, beginning with piano when he was 3 years old. During the time in college, they discovered a deeper call to experience and express relationship with the Lord through the gift of music and began singing and leading worship together. Now they have an album titled Honest, which speaks to the many different moments of encounter with God in the Christian life of faith. And so, to tell us more, I am now joined by Andrew Ferguson of The Dwell. Andrew, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour. It's good to meet you.
It's great to meet you, Deacon. Thank you so much for having me.
So I do want to get to how you ended up on staff for the Vigil Project, and you'll tell us a little bit about Sophie as well. But tell me a little bit about you. I mean, are you from Louisiana? Did you grow up in a Catholic family? Are you a musical family? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So I am from Louisiana. I'm actually from Lafayette originally, so part of Cajun culture, as is
nice.
Sophie.
Okay.
So yes, born and raised in Lafayette to a wonderful family, wonderful parents, good Catholic, and just very, very strong people who I look up to a lot. And I think I owe a lot to them in terms of my faith formation. The funny thing is I also owe a lot to them in terms of my musical formation, but not because they are musicians. They are not at all. What happened was when I was born, my natal doctor or whatever it is, essentially told my parents that they anticipated that I would have very bad fine motor skills, like my fingers and whatever would not work well. And so for that reason, as well as a few others, my parents decided to put me into piano lessons very young. And now all these years later, unfortunately, they've raised a professional musician, so they've got to deal with that now.
No, but that's wonderful. Yeah. So is that you are a prof? Did you study music? Is that your
I didn't. And actually, nor did Sophie. We both studied engineering in college.
Okay. All right. That's a whole other conversation there.
Yeah.
So you're a piano player. When did you start? I suppose you might play other instruments, but when did you start writing music?
Oh, goodness.
Like, were you writing like really bad songs when you were 12?
Oh, horrible, horrible. as bad as they get. yeah, I probably started trying to write when I was maybe somewhere around there, 10, 11, something like that. And of course, nothing worth remembering. Praise the Lord that I don't remember it, because I probably shouldn't
right.
share those.
And I was going to ask, and did you, were you, I mean, you said you were brought up in a Catholic family, but were you sort of involved in the faith? Were you playing music in church, or were you just kind of, your music was a separate thing from your faith?
I'm actually glad you asked that question, because it was completely separate. I loved music. I had a deep passion for music, even from the time I was very young. But it wasn't until later high school, maybe even college, that I realized that my passion for music was truly based in a passion for encountering Jesus through beauty. Okay. And once I realized those things, my love for the Lord, my love for music kind of joined and became one. And it made so much more sense to me. Oh, that's why my heart is moved when I hear a piece of music that I love. Or that's why I feel like there's something deeper going on when I sit at the piano and just play something from my heart, because that's a conversation that I'm having with the Lord, even if there aren't words there, so to speak.
And even if the song or the music or the piece of music is not quote unquote religious or sacred art, right? Sacred music.
Absolutely. Oh, being able to delve more deeply into uncovering the desire, the longing for Jesus in secular music
Interesting.
Such a beautiful journey to see, especially as I didn't start as a Christian musician. I mean, when I really started playing a lot of music, I was playing in bars, and I still love to do that from time to time. But Yeah, to be able to go in there and to see where those little pieces of longing for the Lord are, even in the music that I love to play at the bar.
Yeah. So how did you end up working with the Vigil Project?
So it was in college, around that time that I was, you know, starting to put those things together, where I started leading worship at LSU, at Christ the King, with our student community over there. And it started in small ways. I had some friends who knew I liked to play some, and they would invite me to come and to come to some worship sessions and play with them and adore Jesus together with them. And eventually I started running some of the teams on my own over there. And by that time, the Vigil Project and Greg started coming in to Christ the King, both to do musician retreats for the students and to do like one-on-one formation with some of the student musician leaders. And he approached me at some point throughout my time at LSU and was like, hey, man, you should, if you haven't before, you know, I think you have a gift and you have a calling and you have an ability to lead people towards Jesus's heart in this way. Mm-hmm. And maybe you should consider doing that in a full-time sense after college. And I heard that and I was like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. No way. No one does that.
Yeah. You know?
And what's funny is like, that was my heart's longing. That was when the Vigil Project first came to LSU, I was like, those are the coolest guys I've ever seen, you know, like that's the dream. And so over time, the Lord just kind of worked on my heart and was like, no, there is something deeper here. And you've known it, you know, you've known it your whole life. You've known it from the second you sat down at the piano when you were a little kid, like that you relate to me in this way and I relate to you in this way. And so I feel like he gradually continued to reveal that to me over time.
Yes. That's how God works. And Greg, obviously, Greg Boudreau he's the founder of the Vigil Project. He and his wife, Lizzie, have been on this program before, so our listeners would maybe remember them. And you met Sophie then working on the Vigil Project.
I actually met Sophie at LSU beforehand.
Okay, so you knew her beforehand.
Yes. So we went to rival high schools back in Lafayette, but we weren't really friends at that point. We got a little more acquainted once we got to LSU, and we were both kind of helping with music around Christ the King. And this is actually outside of Vigil. When I started doing a little bit more of like worship events outside of the school on my own, I just kind of realized I was like, I'd rather do this with someone else. I feel like I'd rather have somebody to kind of share in this with, both for my sake and for the sake of those that we're serving, to serve them better. And so there was a retreat I remember I was going out on, and I was basically just like, hey, Sophie, you want to tag along? And we weren't really that close. We were kind of friends at that point, but she just kind of said, yeah, sure. Right. And it was funny to go out on that and to lead with her. There was something very, very special, I think, in that. Just a special capacity to encounter the Lord in that particular relationship. And so that's been awesome to experience.
Wonderful. So why do you call yourselves The Dwell?
What a great question. The project of The Dwell essentially came from Song of Songs, somewhere around chapter 8. Where the Lord, the groom rather, says, refers to himself as he who longs to dwell in the heart of man, right?
Beautiful.
And so the concept of the dwell is kind of like trying to discover that truth in all of these different aspects of life. And if you listen to the album, if you listen to Honest, you'll hear that there are these beautiful moments of prayer and worship, like there are these moments that you could take into the adoration chapel with you. Mm-hmm. And then there are some that like, that aren't that. Honest itself, it's like, it's a song of struggle, and it's a song of being realistic with yourself about our struggle to walk with the Lord sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's high energy, and it's got driving drums and electric guitars. And like, it's probably not the song to take into the adoration chapel with you, but it is a moment in our Christian life. And that's like, that's what we were trying to express with the album is like all of these different moments of prayer, all of these different moments of encounter with the Lord that happen all over the place in our lives. That's that's more realistic to how our experience with God is. And so that was kind of like what the dwell is at, trying to uncover all those different times that he wants to say, I want to dwell within you.
Beautiful. Hey, that's so beautiful. And we're going to end the program with that song, Honest. So just finally, because we're running out of time, who does most of the writing? Do you compose together? Is that, how does that process like?
Yeah. So Sophie and I wrote, I think most of the songs together. We actually didn't like sit down and say, I want to write an album. Let's write an album. Okay. We just started writing together for fun. There was no intention to publish anything in the beginning. And because of that, that's kind of what led to all of these very different moments and these very different songs, which kind of compiled themselves into, oh, wait, this really makes sense as a holistic picture for our prayer lives. Yeah. And so, yeah, those songs were written together in my college apartment, pretty much.
Wow. Well, it's amazing how God, you might not think you have an album, but God had other plans. And I guess it was good enough for Greg and Lizzie and the team to say, hey, we should publish this. Andrew, it's been really good meeting you. I'm sorry that Sophie couldn't join us, but maybe if you guys keep writing and keep putting music out there, we might be able to have both of you back on the show. Thank you for what you're doing. And it's great music and really enjoying what I'm listening to. So I hope to hear more soon.
Deacon, thank you so much.
You can learn all about The Dwell, Andrew Ferguson and Sophie Salopek, and The Vigil Project at their website, thevigilproject.com. If you missed any part of our conversation or if you want to listen to it again, just head on to our website, slmedia.org/podcast. Here now is The Dwell with the title track of their album, Honest.
I wanna know just why I can't seem to be alright. I'm not giving up just yet, but I'm getting too tired to fight. Sometimes it feels like I'm talking to an empty room. I'm tired of running and running and running.
We're listening to The Dwell with Honest from their album of the same name, and that will take us to the end of the program today. To listen to the full program, go to our website, slmedia.org/podcast. That's also where we post links to all our guests and resources. You can also subscribe to the Salt and Light Hour Catholic podcast everywhere, and that's an easy way not to miss one single show. Today, let's pray for the people in the Holy Land, for those planning pilgrimages there this summer, and for the priests who are participating in the priest renewal at Magdala. Let's pray for those who don't have freedom of religion, and let's continue praying for peace in Ukraine and in so many places where there is conflict. We pray that you stay safe, that you pray for each other, and take care of each other. Thank you for listening. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.
Can't blame you forever if I'm honest, yeah. It really is amazing. still on me. It really is amazing that you still love me. 'Cause God, I don't deserve it, but you still love me. 'Cause God, I don't deserve it, but you still love me. I can't blame you for